Backchat Studios is a part of the Acast Creator Network. Head to backchatpodcast.com.au to sign up as a patron and access all of our merch.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, Backchat Basketball Show back again with a very special episode. No Greg Heyer with me today, no Ben Malice, but we've got a guy who has, I don't know, one of the best nicknames in sporting business, I reckon. I don't know if he's still going by it at the moment. Ryan Brokoff, thanks for joining us today. How's it over in Melbourne for you at the moment?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's a bit of sun out, which is nice. Had some heavy downpours, but it's always a little bit better when the sun's out.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So the nickname, I'll just start with that. I'm a Mavs fan, so I followed you quite closely. You're one of my all-time favorite Mavs players. The Australian thing has helps a lot with that. Mm-hmm. You went by sort of Ryan from accounting and the accountant. You've just taken the glasses off.
I have. I knew it was coming, so I thought I'd take it off.
Do you still get that a little bit, the Ryan from accounting thing?
Every now and then on Twitter, something would be like your favorite random Mavs player or something, and people would tag Ryan the accountant. So that's about it. But it never really translated back here to Australia. Yeah. I was known as Rowdy for such a long time as my other nickname. So yeah, it's kind of the default one back here in Australia.
Rowdy's also very good. I just have Dan, so nothing special
easy.
About that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's easy. First question I always ask people: we're going to talk a little bit about your basketball journey. You know, massive poster dunk on Joel Embiid. We can cover all of that. but first, I want to hear about your greatest sporting achievement, but not on the basketball court. So you've done a lot of great things there, but I know you've played other sports. It can be, under nines. It can be whatever. But the greatest thing you've done outside of the basketball court?
Oh, Lightning Premiership footy, grade six, Patterson Lakes Primary School. love my footy.
Shout to them.
Shout out. love my footy growing up. Played a season and a half of actual competitive footy and then some school footy, but got so busy, I guess, by that 14-year-old mark with basketball and really dedicated to that I kind of had to pick from early age. And I was always pretty tall and didn't have the right frame for footy, pretty skinny. so just sort of settled on basketball, but handy center half forward, pinch hit in the ruck.
Nice. That's good. We could use that over at West Coast at the moment. There's about 75 injuries, so they need someone who can pinch hit the ruck and go forward. So, I know you're currently not signed to an NBL team, so maybe that's why. Maybe you're in chats with the West Coast Eagles or something. Do you follow the AFL?
I do. I'm a big Geelong supporter. So, yes, it's been a great period of time. For the last 15 years have been pretty good.
You're lucky.
But it's funny enough, I actually, a long, long time ago, 10-odd years ago, I went down to Geelong and had a little bit of a look around and went down to Richmond as well and had a little bit of a look around. And that Category B rookie contract that you can kind of sign if you haven't played competitive footy. So there was a period of time where I thought maybe coming back and making the switch. I was in college still at the time, but very happy that I didn't take that any further.
Yeah, I think you made the right call. But who knows what could have been. It's a nice thing to always have in your back pocket or something that you could have done. The Scott Pendlebury always talks – people always talk about him playing basketball and footy.
you don't hear it very often, do you?
let's talk a bit about some NBA stuff that's going on at the moment. I like to just cover a little bit of news. So obviously at the moment the playoffs are happening. Are you supporting a team? You played at the Mavs in Philly. Do you have there's no Mavs in the playoffs, but are you backing in Philly?
I was watching Philly earlier today, and they're a bit slow in the first half, but I had to sneak away and do some other work stuff and saw that score. So they obviously turned around the second half, but they're going to be tough to beat out in the East. I think between them, Boston, Milwaukee is sort of coming out of that side, and the West may be a little bit more open. But yeah, if you're going to follow anyone, I guess Philly for my very, very, very short
still
with them.
Still counts. You played more games for Philly than I did. So I actually didn't play any games.
No, because I signed to go to the bubble. And then my wife, who has some medical conditions, came down with COVID during sort of that early period where we didn't know.
Chaos.
Yeah, basically. So we had a six-month-old child at the time, and wife got somewhat ill, but not crazy ill. But it was, I think it was two days before the team was supposed to leave. So I had to pull out and then try to rejoin the team after a while, but they weren't really letting players in. So unfortunately, never actually pulled on a game day jersey, but was on their roster for a little bit.
you pulled on the media day jersey, so you had the team photo, obviously,
and looked good in it too. The red, white, and blue looked good.
You're on the East, you said Milwaukee, Philly, and Boston. Is there a team that you went for as a kid in the NBA?
Funnily enough, it was Dallas.
Right.
I was a huge Dirk Nowitzki fan, and I used to grow up going to a mate's house who had Foxtel, and we used to play the NBA games. We used to watch the basketball because I think it used to come on Saturdays or Sundays on the weekend, and he was a big Spurs fan, and there seemed to be a lot of games of those two teams playing, and just really loved Dirk and the way he went about it, and obviously shooting was something that I was drawn to. I was very lucky enough for all to come full circle and to be able to play with my idol for a year and still be in touch and the team that I followed growing up.
That's awesome. I think we had a similar way of following the team. My parents had Foxtel and I caught like one or two games, but my guy was Dezania Diop. I just loved him, and I actually hated Dirk early days. I don't know why, but I just hated him.
Let's cancel this. Let's cut this off. All right. Thanks.
But then after like a season, I was like in. Like he's now my all-time favorite athlete, absolute legend. So, but Diop was the guy that got me into the Mavs, which is, I don't know.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? But we're here now. What was your favorite city to play in while you were there?
Good question. Obviously, I think going to Madison Square Garden for the first time in playing, there's no atmosphere quite like it. There's no history quite like it. I think from a basketball purist perspective, that's the mecca of basketball. So that was pretty special going in there the first time. Trying to think. I think I had pretty high in Golden State, so that's always a good gym. But look, all the facilities over there in the States are elite level and amazing facilities. And, I remember Utah felt like the fans were right on top of you in their arena, and they were always so loud. There was different challenges and different positives to each arena. Madison Square Garden, I think just where it is and the history behind it was probably my favorite.
Yeah, nice. Let's just chat some NBL stuff before we dive a bit into what your career. So a lot of movement right now. It's NBL offseason. There has been some big names moving around. So Luke Travers has been a big name for us over here in Perth. Rockingham guy who's sort of come through and now recently, as of yesterday, just signed with Melbourne United. What would that be like for him? I mean, there's so much pressure and so much chatter around him, and he's still so young. I mean, for anyone, free agency must be a difficult time if you're not signed. But for someone like that, what would sort of he be going through at the moment?
Oh, he'd be going through some nerves, obviously making the big move, but excitement. You know, I think his thought or his plan is that he'd probably have some more opportunities with his ball in, with ball in hand, and be able to sort of showcase himself and work on some skills that you know, during the games that he may not get to in Perth. You've got, you know, Bryce Cotton and the Webster brothers last season, and so many great players, but, you know, high usage players as well, where, you know, he may be able to have a little bit more of the keys to the car and sort of show off his talent as well. And his goal, if it's not what should be, getting to the NBA, he was drafted. So it's all about him just trying to express himself and find the best path for him to get to the next level. And that's what you want from, you know, the young talent coming through, to continue to strive and find ways to push themselves. And it'd be hard, obviously, for Perth to lose him and such a young talent. My thought is, you know, it's whatever's best for the player and whatever's going to be best to catapult them to the next stage of their career.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think Perth, I think a lot of Perth fans just do like love Luke Travers and want the best for him. So I'm sure he'll get a lot of cheers when he comes back. I don't think it'll be one of those sort of things where a player comes back and everyone boos. Well, I hope not anyway, because, you know, it's just good to see what he's doing and flourishing and hopefully eventually gets to the NBA. What about for yourself? So you've had, is it two seasons with Phoenix? Coming into a time now where you're not signed, what is that like for you? What's the juggle like? And, you know, is it a nervous time or are you just comfortable with where you're at?
Yeah, it's sort of a new stage. I haven't really been, I guess, a free agent for my entire career, except for the period between the Mavs and Philly. So, yeah, I guess 2.5 seasons, if you count sort of that half year. But I'm just focusing on things outside of, I guess, basketball. I've got a business starting up and my wife's pregnant with our second child, and it's just been nice to get away from basketball as sort of a focus playing-wise and more into sort of life outside of there. So just sort of working through some stuff, taking my time. I see all the movement, but, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with where I am, and we'll just see what happens.
Are you one of those guys that once the season's over, you just don't want to see a basketball for a while? Do you try to like completely get away from it, or are you just hoping through?
It might be like a week break, something like that. It's usually pretty short.
Yeah.
I always found it was easier to stay in shape than to get in shape. So especially with, you know, shooting and skill work, you know, the off season's the best time to work on a lot of that stuff and develop different skills. So I don't like to waste too much time. If there's any niggling injuries or things like that, obviously that changes stuff. But, you know, this is our job. This is what we get paid to do. And I think it's, although the season's fairly short, I think it's a full-time, full-year-round job that we've got to dedicate ourselves to.
And how are you feeling at the moment? You had a bit of injury last season. Are you ready to go now, or are you still dealing with a bit of that?
No, body's feeling a lot better. It's been, a frustrating, I guess, couple of years with just lots of niggling things and a few, non-basketball really common injuries with a broken eye socket and a shoulder thing as well. So, and then all the soft tissue stuff that's been sort of hampering any momentum I've been able to build. So it's been a little bit frustrating, but spent a lot of time since the season finished working on the body and making sure it's healthy and up and running. So feeling really good, really refreshed, really healthy, no niggles, no sort of lasting worries with any of that stuff.
Yeah, nice. Broken eye socket must be, it sounds brutal. Like, is it like one of those really painful injuries? I mean, I don't even know, like, because you can't really do anything, right? It's just don't touch it.
Yeah, it's the impact was, a lot of it was through my actual eye as well. So that was more like painful thing. You get poked in the eye and the biggest man will drop to his knees. But that was the more painful thing, you know, I guess the more scary bit, just with the impact. It sort of, the eyes were dilated differently, like they were different sort of sizes, the pupils, and you know, a few other little things. So that was more of a scary part. But that's why I rocked the goggles for a little bit. Not my best look. And those things were really annoying because 2 seconds in, they were fogging up and full of sweat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It must get fogged up with the, like, I put my glasses on like a hot day and it gets fogged up.
Yeah, it was terrible. So I spent half the time just fiddling with it anyway. But it was sort of a little bit of a scary one. And you know, there was the reason for the goggles is, you know, further impact before it kind of healed, it could lead to some permanent stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
So that was probably the most scariest injury I've had. So happy to be through that. But yeah, injuries just, you know, they take their toll.
Yeah. What was your time at, I'm not going to say the full name of the university, I'm just going to say Valpo because I feel like I'm going to butcher it.
Butcher it, yeah.
Well, what is it? Say it properly for me.
Valparaiso.
Sounds very fancy.
It does.
Out in Indiana. What was that like going from, you know, Victoria to Indiana? I imagine that's a bit of a shift.
Very much so. I think I went for my visit. Oh, I don't know what time of the year was, but there definitely wasn't snow around. so, you know, you get there in late August, which is kind of the end of the summer. You got a month or two of all right weather and then dumped on with snow. And it was definitely a first, definitely a change in that regard. But amazing time. I was very fortunate to have, you know, really great teammates and really good support over there with making friends. You know, still friends that I keep to this day. So that's I think for me was the biggest part, making sure that I felt comfortable and being able to. You know, it's always hard being away from home at a young age and feeling homesick and all those, but you're able to make friends and real friends, true friends. I'd go to teammates' place any holidays, Christmases, whatever it was. So making me feel like part of the family was huge for me. And basketball, I knew was going to be a work in progress. I had no expectations on where I would start. In sort of the pecking order, I didn't think I was going to be a starter. They didn't sort of promise any minutes that I would be getting. It was kind of, you get in here, you work hard, you show us what you can do, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, that's nice. One of, you know, when you're a kid playing sport, whether it's footy or basketball or whatever, like, you always do that thing where you do like a countdown and you go for the game winning shot. It's like a lifelong kid, you know, a thing you do as a kid. You just, like, could be the best thing ever. You actually got to live that in college. I was watching a video just before. Pretty awesome moment in your career, like everyone getting up and about. What was that like? Do you still remember that moment pretty vividly?
Absolutely, because it always pops up on social media around that period of time as a memory, and I get to relive it every year. It's it's something special. As you said, every kid, I think, in his backyard or wherever he is, practices his game-winning shots, and they're very, I guess, rare to actually get that opportunity. And on a big stage, it was very much a dream come true, and something I look back on with fondness, and we'll show my kids when they get a little bit older and understand. And yeah, your old man was all right.
I'm sure you've showed your 3.5-year-old it, like, whether or not they fully understand what's going on. I would be over showing everyone constantly, just be on my phone lock screen.
Just saved, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you go from Victoria to Indiana, then to Turkey. Mm-hmm. That, again, a big jump from like location standpoint. What was that process like going from, Indiana to Turkey?
Completely different shift again. So at least from Australia to the US, we spoke the same language. I could communicate with people. Here was going to Turkey. First year professional, coach didn't speak a lot of English, so that was a interesting sort of arrangement, having a translator come across and sort of, I don't think he translated exactly what the coach said because he was pretty fiery. But the message
is he translating like mid game, like calling out, you know, if they're calling like man or something like that. Obviously, you must pick up words eventually, mm-hmm. but like, is it during the game and practice he's calling out stuff as well?
Oh, we're lucky a lot of our offensive sets were pretty easy. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, right. 5, I think they were, or something like that. Like, it was pretty small playbook. But when we'd come off, you know, get subbed off, if we did something good, we did something bad, the head coach would be there and the translator would be right next to him, who was an assistant coach. So we knew basketball. Yep. Wasn't someone who was outside of basketball trying to translate. So he just conveyed the message, and usually it was a little bit softer in tone than what the coach would. but you figure it out. And, you know, I feel very fortunate to be able to have been able to go over there at such a young age and play basketball for a living, travel the world, see Europe. Istanbul is a beautiful city. Experience sort of a different culture, a different lifestyle. Kind of immerse yourself in that at a young age. And I tried to do as much as I could and see as much as I could. My wife and I now look back and like, we should travel even more. Now we've got kids and stuff. We're all the way here in Australia. It's a little bit tougher, but it was amazing, you know, a few years in Turkey and then in Russia after that.
Yeah, so I can't imagine many places preparing you better for Russia than Turkey. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you're going from like Australia to Russia, it would be a huge difference. But Turkey, at least, I mean, the weather's not really the same, but at least like being in a really foreign place. What were the crowds like in Russia?
They were really supportive. We had really, really good fans in our city, Krasnodar.
You know, I'm deliberately not saying them because I don't want to.
They're difficult. Yeah, don't worry.
Ruin the names.
but we were kind of, you know, the team had been pretty successful in the past and a really good reputation amongst the fans. And they really just supported, you know, sometimes in English, sometimes in Russian. And we, you know, we didn't get recognized too much on the street, but whenever we did, it was really positive and smiling and happy and want to take photos. So it was actually a really nice place to play and great support. The weather was a little cold. It sort of reminded me of Indiana to a degree, but you know, my 3 years there, I wouldn't have stayed 3 years if it was terrible. You know, obviously had ups and downs during that period of time, but I enjoyed my time and it allowed us to travel again.
Yeah, for sure. Was the NBA always on your radar while you're in Russia? Is that like a, I guess there's a few leagues around the world that are pathways to the NBA. I'd say Russia's not the most common one, mm-hmm. but obviously it got you there. Can you talk us through a little bit of that?
I mean, NBA was always in the back of my mind. So I put my name in the draft in 2013 when I came out of college and didn't get selected, only had a few workouts, which that's how it is. That's how basketball was at that time. It's obviously, it was 10 years later and all this shooting now has become such a focal point, then maybe that would be a little bit different. But mid-major, you know, school, had a, you know, decent college career, but wasn't, and speaking with my agent as well, going into it, there wasn't much thought about getting drafted. It's okay, if, you know, NBA may not be the time now, let's go over to Europe. And my agent is the same as Joe Ingles. So it was kind of, he sort of showed me that pathway. You go over to Europe and you do really well. You get to some big teams, play EuroLeague, and that's a way to make the jump across to the NBA if that's what your dream is. And it was. So different countries to Joe, but try to follow a similar pathway and build myself up. And going over to Russia in my first season, that was the big jump, playing EuroLeague for the first time. So they qualified and I don't know if there was a first ever season in EuroLeague, but it was the first in a while. Right. So to get that opportunity to go play the second best league in the world, it was too hard to pass up. And just sort of each year try to get a little bit better and a little bit more consistent. And my third year was obviously my best year. We were in Euro Cup at the time, which is just under EuroLeague, but had a, you know, an all league season, and unfortunately broke my finger in the semifinals as the team was on a 20 odd game win streak and broke that record. Right. And we're on our way to hopefully having a perfect season. But it was definitely a way to sort of get my face out there and get my name out there and show what I can do.
Yeah, nice. So did you get a call up from the Mavs while you were playing in Russia, or do you approach them?
My agent obviously takes care of a lot of that early communication with teams, and each, you know, season and off season is, you know, trying to get in their ear and send video and all that sort of stuff. So I was actually with my wife at her parents' place, I believe, in Michigan. I think we're up by the lake up there. And as we were heading there, I was finalizing a deal with Anadolu Efes, which is one of the big teams in Turkey.
Right.
EuroLeague team. I think they've won it a few times since then. Finalizing a deal with them to go and play with them after finishing up the season in Russia, and obviously wanted to get back to EuroLeague and real strong club. So I just sort of finalized the deal with them and was about to get on a plane to go to Michigan. So it was just before that. And my agent's like, oh, the Mavs have some interest. I believe they wanted to do a two-way deal at first.
Yep.
And the rules around two-way and guaranteed money and stuff have changed over the years since then. So I sort of went back to him. I was like, you know, although it's a dream of mine to play in the NBA, I'm not willing to, I guess, throw away a financial security of what I've signed in Turkey and play in the second highest league. And as always, I can always try, I guess, next year or whatever it is. So I got on the plane, went with my wife to see her parents and up by the lake, and we're relaxing, and terrible phone service up there, which didn't help. But yeah, they sort of came back and sort of said, okay, we're willing to offer you a 2-year deal on the main roster. And it was I think I was 26 or 27 at the time. It's kind of okay, let's take the chance, let's make the most of this opportunity, start waiting any longer, and sort of that age starts to creep up a little bit, and teams want, you know, young players, youthful players. It was an easy decision, but I just had an FS, so I had to call up the general manager and everything and to say, sorry, I'm going to have to use one of these outs that you've allowed me to have.
Right.
But it was sort of the timing of it. I had to make that choice and that jump then. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have got it.
Yeah, that's cool. So you got taken by the Mavs in the same year Luka got drafted. Is that right? So yes. had you, being around the Euro circles, had you heard much of Luka? Seen, you know, obviously you probably saw highlights and stuff like that because he was playing for a big club. Did you know much about him before teaming up?
I never played against him, but watched a lot of his games. He was, you know, best player in the court then at 17, 18. So I know there was a lot of, not criticism over in the US, but they weren't sure if he was going to be what he is, whether his game would translate to the NBA. But I was fully confident after seeing what he'd done at such a young age and how competitive and tough EuroLeague is, that I think it is a great way to prepare for the next step. And you got a lot more space in the NBA, and with his skills on the ball and being able to pass, I was like, he's gonna be pretty good. I didn't think he was gonna be that good that quick, but I was like, he's gonna be good. So it was awesome to see sort of him blossom, you know, in those first couple of seasons.
Do you think that his sort of really rapid rise has hurt him at all? I mean, like, he's copped a lot this season. Early days, you know, earlier in this NBA season, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, Luka MVP favorite and stuff like that. But people became harsher and harsher as the season went on, and, you know, talking about his commitment on defense, and started to really pick apart his game probably for the first time in his career. Is that just because he was so good so quickly that people are now trying to find things to pull him up on?
Yeah, I think all the top players get looked at through a microscope and get picked apart as to what they can improve on and what you know, what their deficiencies are. You know, he's been asked to carry so much offensively since he's arrived, that, you know, to put in that effort offensively, sometimes the men had to take a few possessions off defensively, and that's, you know, that's not what you want to say as a basketball purist or watching the game, but for him to be able to carry the team offensively and create for everybody, that's what he had to do. And whether, you know, he needs to work on his fitness or anything like that, like he's in good physical shape. He just, that's yeah. just the body type he is. That's just how he,
He's a big boy. He's not like this scrawny little, you know, 22 year old.
Exactly. So, you know, if there's any problems, you know, the Mavs would be all on top of it. But yeah, it's obviously, especially this season being such a disappointment for the club, and the big news with the trade and just everything that went on, it all, I guess, falls on your superstar players. Why the team hasn't performed up to where they make Western Conference Finals last year to missing out on the playoffs. And so, yeah, it falls on the best player, which is, you know, not always fair, but that comes with being that good.
Yeah, and just as the Mavs cop a $750,000 fine for tanking at the end there, which is crazy to me because every team that wants to lose will tank. It's just that Jason Kidd had to open his mouth in a presser and say, yeah, we're not trying to win. But it's just funny that the Mavs copped a fine for it when a lot of teams do it. So you got to play in Dirk's final season. That just seemed like quite a ride from a fan's point of view because there was a lot of build up to that final year, and all year they were sort of celebrating him. What was it like for you being able to just be a part of that?
Something I'll never forget, that whole year, especially as we got towards the end, wherever we went, there seemed to be tribute videos there. I remember Doc Rivers called a timeout, must have been the third or fourth quarter, and just grabbed a microphone and just started talking. It was unreal. But the impact that he's had on basketball and his loyalty to the Mavs and the career he had, it's going to be hard to be matched. And he's anyone who's ever spent any time with him just knows he's such a genuine, great fella. Cares about everybody, connects with everybody. Doesn't matter if you're Mark Cuban as the owner or if you're one of the interns that are rebounding the ball. He knows people's names. He's joking with them. He's making them feel comfortable. And for your best player facing the organization to do that for as long as he has, that impact doesn't go unnoticed by everyone else.
That final game was pretty special as well. You know, a lot of guys, especially late in their career, they might check in for 7 or 8 minutes and hobble their way through it. He had a big game in his final game, and I was watching some highlights just before, and the crowd was going crazy. Again, that must have been pretty awesome to be a part of.
It was, and he was definitely hobbling. He was hobbling that whole season.
He's hobbled for most of his career, if we're being honest.
It was fun to be a part of. It was just, you know, let's get him the ball, let's send him off the best way we can. Let's get the, you know, give reasons for the crowd to get into it and show their appreciation and just have some fun. We didn't have a great season in its entirety, but it was all about, you know, what we can do to celebrate the Mavs champ. And then after the game, you know, the tributes and the people that were there, it was special. He's that kind of person. He deserves all that. But it was special to just have a small part in that.
Yeah. So there's some obvious highs for you with being a part of that Mavs team. And then, you know, I imagine one of the hardest things in the sports business is getting the call or a meeting to say you've been waived by a team. Mm-hmm. How does that go for you? Was it like a phone call? Did you see it coming? What was that process like?
I heard some rumors that they were looking to sign Kid Gilchrist, I believe it was.
Yes.
That they were looking to bring him in. Sort of that second season, it started to find some form, and then I broke my leg and sort of fell out, and then starting to make my way back in. But when you're sort of on the minimum in the NBA, you, as far as your salary, you're the easiest person to let go and to move and to make space. So from a business perspective, I understand it. As far as a fit for the Mavs and skill sets of the two players, I don't think either of us really worked out, but I thought having some extra shooting around Luka made some sense. But
yeah,
it's part of the business. It was tough because I think my mum was in town, and it was after a game. Got called back into the coach's office with the GM, and just broken the news. It was a little bit emotional. You never want to sort of hear that. And at that point, you're wondering whether your time in the NBA is up, whether you're going to find your feet, whether what to do now. You've got a house and all that sort of extra stuff, and mum was in town, and
that must have been a bit of a plus, though, to have your mum there for that.
I was lucky enough to get her outside of the arena before she ran in the back and had some words with people. She's pretty fiery, so just sort of collecting my things that were there, and they could see something on my face that it wasn't right. My wife and mum, and just sort of said, "Look, I'll meet you at home. Let's just kind of get out of here." And took a long way home. Just sort of drove around in my thoughts and feelings for a little bit, and just took that time to compose myself and start trying to think about what's next. And then sort of, I think I broke the news right as we were kind of getting in the cars to them, and they understood, and we'll go home and we'll figure out what's next. But yeah, it was a tough moment, tough to deal with, tough to kind of be told that you're not fit, or you're not a part of this, or I guess you're not good enough is sort of how I perceived it, and that's not always what you want to hear.
Yeah, so they waived you, and they brought in Michael Gilchrist, so a guy who has a very pure shooting stroke to someone who has maybe the weirdest shooting stroke in the history of the NBA. But anyways, they had their reasons for that. Mm-hmm. You were just chatting before, you had the brief stint with Philly before the bubble, and then made your way back home playing in the NBL. When you start your basketball career as an Australian, is that something that you think at the end I'd like to come back and play in Australia?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if everyone else is a kid or not. I enjoyed going to the NBL and watching games and being around it. But goals were always to pursue it as high as I could, go to the NBA, go to Olympics and all that sort of stuff. I didn't really think too much about retirement. When you're a kid, you don't think it's ever going to end. But, as basketball, my career started to progress, and, I started to look at it as having a finite time to it, that I thought it would be really sweet to be able to come back to Australia, and especially to Melbourne, and be around family and play in front of family and friends that haven't sort of seen me for the last 15 years, as far as basketball wise, and play in front of them and reconnect with them and sort of share this journey, and then probably finish up over here as well. So it'd be a nice full circle moment to be able to start and kind of finish in my home city and close to home.
Nice. So still a while away from sort of the whole free agency period being over and the season getting underway. So what's the next sort of little while look like for you in terms of keeping shape and, you're not currently signed, so getting interest from other teams and things like that. What does the next sort of period look like for you?
Sort of leave a lot of that sort of talking to my representation, sort of talk to him occasionally when we need to, but it'll be focused on just making sure I'm fit and healthy. Luckily you know, I've partnered with David Anderson and we're opening up a training facility. So yep. I'll be able to find ways to get out of the house and say I'm going to work and basketball. Go play basketball and get chops up and lift weights and do what I need to do to get, you know, into the best shape I can. And other than that, focus on building the business. So hopefully we'll be open in a few weeks and sort of just get you know, hands-on in that sort of respect and training kids and being around that. And then kid coming in July. Yeah. So
exciting.
trying to get the business up and running before that tornado comes and life changes again and I don't sleep anymore and all the I joke, but joys. We're really looking forward to it. But it's obviously a big commitment to have another kid. So just focusing on sort of family and the business and take care of myself and we'll just see what happens after that.
Very good. Well, I will leave you to it. It sounds like you've got a fair bit on your plate then, a fair bit to organize. Instagram's backchat_basketball and you can email us hello@backchatpodcast.com.au. We have a new episode coming out basically every Wednesday. Ryan Brokoff, thanks for joining us. Rowdy Ryan from accounting. I'm gonna keep trying to push that because I think it's one of the better ones in the game.
Please do. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That episode from Backchat Studios lives on the Acast Creator Network. If you want to sign up as a patron or access all of our merch, head to backchatpodcast.com.au.